Well, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, really familiar passage that we've quoted a lot lately, but it's just so full of life. So this morning, the Lord was just speaking to me from this again, always bringing clarity. God always brings clarity. Even if you've memorized the scripture, taught from 1,000 times, it's a living word, so there's always clarity when there's life. And this is, we'll just start in verse 20. It says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were entreating through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He, the Father, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. The phrase here, we might become the righteousness of God in Christ, is in the aorist tense. Aorist tense is a lot of fun. Often is past, but always is some reaction. It's something that's done in summation, in totality. And so he makes the statement that we might be totally the righteousness of God in him. We often, even if you've pondered these verses for many years, we have a tendency to translate scripture in terms of the way we explain them through the grid of our own experience. And it's really important that we don't do that, because it's the truth that sets us free. Truth is meant to change our experience. Experience never should impact truth, or you'll get in trouble. And so the way we look at the scripture in light of our experience is that God's made this declaration. He's made this statement. He's put a title over us, the righteousness of God in Christ. And because of that, he sees me in some mystical way as the righteousness of God in Christ, and I have Jesus's position before the Father. Well, I have Jesus's position before the Father, but it's not because I have a title called righteousness. It's because when God says about me that I'm righteous, it's because I am. And I'm not just righteous compared to other people who are at different levels of righteousness. It's not a comparison thing. I'm the righteousness of God. That's more than what we call position. It's just a fact. It's a reality. That's the truth about you. You don't just have a righteous position before God because God says you do. You are a righteous person before God. It's even better than that. You're in union with the righteous person and therefore the righteousness of God that's in Christ. Again, that's why it says, one of my favorite scriptures to quote from Romans 6, 10 and 11, for the death that he died to sin once for all, for the death he died to sin, he died once for all. But the life that he's now living, Jesus, he's living to God. Even so, consider yourselves dead to sin, but living to God because you're in union with Christ. Trying to live for God is a futile thing. Getting in on the ride of Jesus living for God is a glorious thing. He's got it down. But you see, if we look at it as a title, well, God says about me, I'm righteous. And so therefore, I'm trying to live towards that thing experientially. I'm trying to get there in my experience. No, you're a righteous person. And God wants us to believe it so that we'll begin to manifest it. There's a difference between working toward what God says about me and living from the truth about me. Because my righteousness is the fact I was created in Christ Jesus. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. You with me? So your nature is righteousness. All those things in you that knows it's right, but you keep doing wrong, the thing that knows it's right, that's the true you in Christ, because that's the new you. When it says in Galatians chapter 2 that I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, or I no longer live, but Christ is living, that's present tense. He's living in me right now. So when we ask the question, how do I get Jesus to live his righteous life in me? Well, you're in union with that righteous life. You don't have to do anything to get him to do that, but you can do things to restrict it. By simply not believing, not yielding to the truth about you, not yielding to the new person that you are. That's why our mind needs to be renewed. so that we're transformed in the way we see who we are. This is what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. Now think about that when what I said a minute ago. It's not that you have a righteous position because God says it. You are a righteous person because you're in Christ. You're in union with Christ. And you participate now in the life that he lives. The prodigal son, when he went home, it said he came to himself. That's the Lord there. When it says he came to his senses, it's literally he came to himself. But now what he thought about himself was false. But it was all through the grit of his experience. He had just blown it royally for a while. And so he came to himself and said, I need to go back to my father's house. And he called him father. He said, and I'll just be like one of his servants. Because even his servants live better than what I'm living. But when he got back to the father never did anything other than celebrate the truth about him. I am your father. Therefore, you're my heir. And it's time you started living like the heir you've always been. That's the truth. So it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, I want you to see the truth and then the calling. To the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified, how? In Christ. Those who have been made holy in Christ. That's in the perfect tense. Completed action in the past. Completed action in the past with continual present tense results. To the church of God, which is at Corinth. The who? From where? You talking about Corinth? Carnal Corinth? Divided Corinth? Immoral Corinth? Drunken Corinth? That Corinth? I mean, he could have said this about the Thessalonians maybe, but not the Corinthians, because their experience totally denies this truth. To the church of God at Corinth, to those who have been made holy in Christ Jesus, saints by calling. Of course you're called to live it out, but you're not living toward, you're living from. For you and I to sin is a contradiction. Can we sin? Of course we can sin. But it's a contradiction to who you really are. Because you don't just have a righteous position. He has made you the righteousness of God in Christ. You are a righteous person. And when you see a person, see an individual, a Christian, just blowing it royally, going out there just goofing up so bad, remember who they are. And that the life they're living is a deception. They're living a total contradiction. They're living a lie to their true identity. People have a tendency to live in response to what they believe is true about them. And you can't separate you from who he is. What's true about him is true about you. And all we have to do is believe it. Sometimes we have to believe it in the midst of a fierce gale, spiritually, right? But it's the truth that sets you free. Not your level of freedom that establishes the truth. There's a difference. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. So here's the cool thing. We have different ministries, but when we do things like ministering words of knowledge, I mean, sometimes it seems like people are on their game a little bit. They're not quite on their game. Let me just, I'll break this to you. Jesus is always on his game. And it really is irrelevant to how gifted you think you are if you were apart from Christ. The issue is he gifted? And how gifted is he? So what should your expectation level be? Okay.